T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
You know what? Brad Pitt, you're a good actor. You're a movie star. You're more of a movie star than a great actor. And that's okay, because you're in really good movies and I enjoy them.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
And as long as that ends up being the case, hey, Bishop, I'm still on the radio.
No, it's all right. You can hang.
Paw Patrol.
I need another Paw Patrol.
Okay, I'm going to come turn it on in just a couple of moments, all right?
Big and Herron.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
With Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
It is Super Bowl week. There is a game on Sunday. We got through the weekend. This is tough for some people who need to try to inflate non-sports into sports to, because, you know, if the Pebble Beach Pro-Am doesn't do it for you and they were delayed for a while.
It was really like bad luck where you're like,
yeah, right?
I kind of want to watch this. Nah, that's okay.
I think I was smart about it. I just said, I'm taking a walk.
Yeah.
I am out. I don't have to sit here. I'm going to do some puzzles. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to get out there. And Anthony Herron is here to get us back to our football focus, as it were. You can find him on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. You can find him right now, not only on the Score Hotline brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, but right there on Twitch. Hello, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Anthony, how are you?
You should have just left the country. That was an option as well, just to get away
did.
For a bit.
Were you riding a camel?
Yeah, where'd you guys go?
No sports of significance taking place, at least not in my world.
Where were you?
We were down in Cabo. We were not in Morocco, as were some of the guesses when I posted a couple of images on social. We were actually just in Cabo. We were in San Jose del Cabo, and it was fun, man. Like, the weather wasn't oppressively hot, but it was warm and comfortable. A couple of days we wore sleeves, a bunch of days where we wore next to nothing, and we had a grand old time.
I love San Jose. I like it better than Cabo proper.
I agree.
Better than Cabo San Lucas, because San Jose, that old city, and sometimes if you've ever been there on a Sunday when, like, the church is letting out, you get this real old world feel to that downtown sort of, it's quieter. There's a couple of really nice little restaurants. It's just a great little walking area without all the Sammy Hagar-ness
of
the city to the west.
Yeah. When you go all the way to Cabo San Lucas, you're going to get your full 80s hairband rock mode going to certain spots. And I mean, if you're into that, hey, you know, do your deal. But that's not what we were there for.
And Farmacia. That is the other thing. If you are in Cabo, every next storefront is Farmacia.
Right, you know.
Everything you want.
If you're stateside, you might see a CVS on every corner. When you're there, it's a Farmacia.
Yeah, that's if CVS isn't giving you all your steroids and all your painkillers and all your, you know,
ointments
and special tumescents. And I know what they're selling. Come on.
And it's whale season there, man. So it was like every morning we'd wake up and have breakfast and just see whales. Like, we'd see a giant flipper come out of the waters, or
so
looking
cool
out at the restaurant, or some, you know, spout coming up shooting water into the air. It's like, are you going to join us at breakfast, whale? No, not today? All right, well, that's fine then. We're just going to have some blubber on your behalf, I suppose.
But Bishop must have just loved that.
Oh, man, he was in his glory down there. They had dinosaurs at the kids' club. There were whales looking out from the beach. And Daddy wasn't on his case every other second about something or something else. So, yeah, it was a great trip for the entire family.
All right, so now you're back. You did the right thing. You left during the bye week. And now you're back, and it's Super Bowl week, and we're ready to get this thing going. So I'm curious, if at first blush, when you look at the matchup between the Eagles and Kansas City, what are the things that you're curious about?
The roster, top to bottom, advantage is definitively, decidedly in favor of the Eagles. And like if the Chiefs can find a way to pull this off, which shouldn't be some big shocker if they do, but if they do, it's just kind of the latest testament to the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, because, you know, like, okay, the Chiefs got the best quarterback, probably the best offensive playmaker as well. And aside from that, it's kind of like decided advantage Eagles everywhere else. I mean, best coach also in Andy Reid. But as far as the talent, the players on the field, QB advantage, Chiefs. Offensive playmaker advantage, you know, you got your tight end in Travis Kelce. Aside from that, man, like everywhere is edge to Philly. And it's not because the Chiefs don't have some guys, but, man, the Eagles just have a stacked roster. So if the Chiefs can pull this off, it's a big credit to the greatness of Andy Reid, of Patrick Mahomes, and certainly shouldn't forget the greatness of Travis Kelce in that conversation, because he's going to have a huge Super Bowl if they do pull it off.
I'm always interested in teams deciding, do we do in this game what we've done all year and what got us here, or do we spring something on them? And I always find that balance and that decision when the coaches finally get around to the nuts and bolts of game planning. How much do you want to catch them in something and say, wait, they've never seen this before? And how much do you want to just say, they know what we're going to do, they got to line up and stop us?
So from game plan wise, you know, that's done now that the teams are there on site. And I think that when you're looking at, you know, I referenced the coaching advantage, obviously goes to Andy Reid over first year Nick Sirianni. And Andy Reid not only has commanded the Super Bowl stage before, but just knows his roster, frankly, better than Sirianni would or should at this point. And to know which buttons to push in game matter. You know, like there's a lot of conversation all around the sport about fourth downs at this point. But you look back to the AFC Championship game, you know, a couple of weekends ago, where I suppose you could view it as the Chiefs like settling for field goals as opposed to what could have been, you know, fourth downs where they went for it on like fourth and medium in and around the red zone a couple of times early in the game. So they're up 6-0 as opposed to potentially multiple touchdowns. They may have had the chance to score on fourth down. But Andy Reid said, you know, even though I've got Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback and Travis Kelce as my tight end, and I'm a wizard when it comes to calling plays, I just feel like the situation in game here, where my squad is at, and the potential advantage to the opponent if we come away with nothing here early in the game. So they, quote unquote, settle for a couple of field goals here. Then, you know, Cincinnati's in position where they do end up tying the game. But you could also view it as Cincinnati would have been in a position to take a lead in that moment, as opposed to tying the game, if the Chiefs would have gone for fourth down there, as opposed to kicking field goal to come out of those early drives with points on the board. So I think the management in game ends up being huge here, just in recognizing there may be one way you've handled situations more frequently than not throughout the season. But on that Super Bowl stage, you also have to know just what is the personality of your roster? How are your playmakers responding in the moment? So if Nick Sirianni gets into the thick of the game, especially early in the first half before you get to go, you know, eat some orange slices at halftime, eat a full meal at the halftime of the Super Bowl. But, you know, as you're really getting a sense for how your team is responding here emotionally and mentally to the Super Bowl stage, that doesn't mean you just throw caution to the wind. If you feel like it suits them and suits the moment, you have to be able and willing to read that as a head coach. And we've seen Andy Reid able to read that really frequently throughout his career.
Why do you think Jalen Hurts struggled in the NFC title game?
I mean, he's not... We've talked about it, and you were on top of the Jalen Hurts thing as far as comparisons to Justin Fields earlier than most people, Lawrence. He's still not one of these naturally gifted and rhythmic passers, and so facing that defense that he faced in San Francisco or against San Francisco, it is a different test. It's a different deal where you're forced to, you know, for one of the few times that maybe you're under additional pass rush duress, and then you have that additional stress and tension where Jalen Hurts has commanded big stages before. He's played on them in college and certainly in the NFL, but every round you advance through and every time that additional, the sort of harsh glare of expectation is on you in this enhanced way, then it can affect, you know, your throwing motion, your rhythm, your decisiveness as a passer. If you haven't been a guy, as Jalen Hurts this season, hasn't been a guy prone to turnovers, and you feel like, you know what, I got this game. I've got the roster with me to have this game in hand, especially once I feel like my defense has a decided advantage over their offense. Don't screw it up. And then if that creeps into your mind, which to me, there did seem to be an enhanced degree of hesitation, of not necessarily throwing, because he's not naturally, as I've talked about with Justin Fields, he's not naturally an anticipatory sort of thrower. And so I didn't see a guy who was really cutting it loose throughout that game. And so that ends up impacting things if, one, you're not just naturally rhythmic, sort of a point guard throwing with a bunch of anticipation, and then you have more duress in the game mentally and physically than you've been under throughout the season. And I think we saw him have a far more, you know, sort of pedestrian performance than we have for most of the season.
I've been laughing about how we usually, this time of year, we usually look at the rosters and we say, how can, and every city does this, it's not there or it wasn't close. I say, what examples are there? What lessons are there to be learned? What can be applied? But, you know, the Bears roster is so far away.
Stinky bad. Yeah.
It's not even worth it. Like, this is the first time I can remember where they're not even far enough down the road to even have the comparisons feel like there's value yet. I mean, there's a little bit of example in Hurts and Fields and the moving quarterback and some of that stuff, but I don't really know where to begin. I mean, the Bears don't have anybody who could be in the conversation with these starters on these teams.
With those other people, yeah.
Right, it's a different game they're playing.
With the non-quarterback guys.
Yeah.
I think when you're looking, what was really intriguing throughout the playoffs is comparing the NFC versus the AFC, just their rosters, their construct, and, you know, it plays out again here in the Super Bowl, just in comparing the roster of the Eagles versus the roster of the Chiefs. But, you know, you look at the AFC squads, and they're the conference that had the peak, the pinnacle of quarterback play, even in certain situations where the rosters top to bottom weren't exceptional. I mean, frankly, I mean, very quickly, credit to Cincinnati, where they've reshaped their roster and certainly their offensive playmakers in a way that, you know, you put the Cincinnati Bengals roster up against a lot of teams in football at this point. So, you know, credit to Joe Burrow, but he's got some dudes around him too. But I think specific to the NFC, both San Francisco and Philadelphia, what the Bears can take from that, and it's interesting by comparison where, you know, Ryan Poles obviously has been in multiple spots here, most recently in Kansas City where they got the QB and then you figure everything else out. But the completeness of the San Francisco roster, the completeness of the Philadelphia roster around the quarterback, you know, Kyle Shanahan deserves all the credit in the world, but in addition to the awesomeness of his offensive play calling and game planning, the simplicity in some ways that it allows the quarterback position to execute with, but they drafted a whole lot of D linemen really early. They drafted and signed offensive linemen to quality contracts and drafted early. And so building from the line of scrimmage can be boring, can be mundane, but then it does show some sustainability in the way that both NFC squads have made the NFC Championship game and the Eagles in advancing to the Super Bowl here, where the Bears, just as we're looking at what direction, and this will be our first real look at what direction Ryan Poles will value, and we can assume that the former offensive lineman will value the line of scrimmage with this defensive head coach who needs a three technique, and then they're just going to get a bunch of offensive and defensive linemen. That's kind of my guess. Well, at the same time, yes, you do have some examples of saying, man, to get a playmaker in here early, even though you already basically used the second round pick, you drafted the second half of the contract of Chase Claypool with a second round pick. So that's there. Is that enough? Do you feel good enough about that? I think this will be our first great look at that. But what's happening in the NFC and what advanced deep into the playoffs and into the Super Bowl, I think can put the Bears in a position where they say, even if we're not all in on Justin Fields, how do we build this thing around him or whomever the quarterback is for years to come starting from the ground up, starting from the line of scrimmage up, we do see teams that have paid dividends with that, but it starts now. It's not just something you kind of, you know, do the cheap hit deal a couple of seasons from now with.
Look, I'm okay with admitting when I'm wrong. I thought when the Eagles hired Nick Sirianni after his opening press conference, I was like, oh my God, they hired an idiot. since then, obviously, there's been a lot of success with them being in the Super Bowl this year. What are the things that you can point to and say, that's how Sirianni made them better?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I don't think the list is very long and obvious. I mean, you know, for him and Dan Campbell, think back to a couple of seasons ago when Dan Campbell first took the Lions job, and there's not a lot that either guy – I don't think either guy's done a lot strategically where you look at it and say that the sort of, you know, meathead tag or, you know, emotional coach label that either of them is associated with. I don't think you look at either of them's time there that has had varying degrees of success. Dan Campbell, year two, second half of that season, Detroit really got rolling and they were impressive. And now Nick Sirianni has really rolled here with what was a stacked roster that he took over. And he's been able, I suppose, to
I mean,
push
the quarterback
the right
decision
button.
Has to be it, right? I mean, that's the primary thing that has been done other than just go play, roll this roster out there, is making this commitment to this quarterback and making it work. I would say that's got to be tops on the list.
That matters. It 100% matters. I guess I'm trying to look at it through the lens of thinking whether or not Nick Sirianni is showing himself as a sustainably excellent head coach, and I'm not seeing definitive evidence of that yet. Is this a team that's just rolling for this year, or is this a guy who looks like he can be at the top of his craft and pull this off for a long time? If this roster isn't amongst the best rosters in football like two seasons from now because of what happens with the cap and guys who are aging out of things and guys who get their money elsewhere because now they're going to have a Super Bowl berth or a Super Bowl ring on their resume, is Nick Sirianni still going to be a guy? You know, and Kyle Shanahan hadn't won a Super Bowl yet, but Kyle Shanahan is this guy. We've seen him sustain excellence in San Francisco after being a quality coordinator. You know, Nick Sirianni, I don't know yet. I don't know that yet from what I've seen play out this season in Philadelphia, because there aren't critical decisions, especially in game, whether it's strategically, whether it's game management wise. I don't see moments where Nick Sirianni, just as a decision maker, as a leader of men, is one thing. As a guy who builds a collective, as a guy who's been good for the culture in that locker room, kept them on task. I think all those things really matter at a high level as a head coach, like I've talked to you guys about with Eberflus. But does that mean that up to this point, first season, that I'm seeing something I think is sustainable with Sirianni yet? I'm not there yet.
Big Ant, I feel like I saw a Big Ant rant on the video stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore, my partner has been saying that the Bulls should trade DeMar DeRozan. What say you?
It ends up depending on the return, of course. But my big thing with DeRozan is essentially that he gets to skate very frequently in this town because he's a player who has outperformed expectations since he's been a member of the Chicago Bulls. We kind of assumed he was washed when he got here. The Bulls signed him. Like, oh, well, what are they going to do with this guy? Is this some volume shooter? He's going to have empty calories, empty points. And then he has the season he had last year and has had at times this year. It's like, wow, we didn't realize he had that left in the tank. And especially because there was a stretch where it led to a lot of wins last year. Whereas conversely, a Zach LaVine has underperformed the hopes of the immense physical potential that's there. And so Zach gets the majority of the sort of harsh scrutiny and criticism, whereas DeRozan, you know, he's just kind of like, all right, it's okay that he doesn't play defense, and it's okay that he's an isolation player who doesn't distribute the basketball effectively at times. So if they trade him, are you trading him just because? Because I mean, if you get a return for him, I think that makes sense. But do you trade him just to say you're unloading a DeMar DeRozan, like, you know, like we've seen with Kyrie Irving multiple times at this point? No, I think you do at least want to still have the opportunity to play competitive basketball. So I don't think you give him away for nothing. And I like him. I like his game. But I just think, you know, let's point out his deficiencies as well.
Fair enough. I think it's a step back to take a step forward. I think you accelerate some developmental opportunities and you takes some of the sclerotic ball sticking out of the offense that tends to hold them
back.
What
I don't get with Billy Donovan, because if Billy Donovan has truly been empowered by this organization, then why? Like, we've seen examples this season where even late in game over the weekend here, where, you know what? Playing through Vooch in the second half, and we're trailing by a big margin. That worked well for everyone. And Zach still put up points, and Debo still put up points. But Vooch touched the ball a lot, and the offense looked like a legitimate NBA offense. Why is this not a message that Billy Donovan has been able to get across? It doesn't seem like they've got, like, bad dudes.
No, he'll tell you after the game. He will tell you after the game, well, we stopped moving the ball.
Spell it out in detail for you.
Well, I would say call a timeout and tell them to stop doing it. Whether it's DeMar or somebody else, instead of after the game saying, "Yeah, well, we got into some of our bad habits again,"
as though he's just a spectator.
Call the timeout and say, "Stop doing it," right? Because you're the coach. I mean, that's you and me talking. That's sort of where I am on that.
Hey, Anthony. Debo, come have a Gatorade. Come look. See how that ball's moving around out there? Right. You should keep doing that too. We're capable of that. It looks better when that's happening.
It's an idea. It's a thought. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you.
Anthony Heron.
I love him so much.
When we come back, we're talking a little college basketball. Things are going to get very, very orange. There's two stories.
Oh, yeah. We're getting what did
super
we write
orange.
Down? Very orange segment.
That's all. Yeah. there's two aspects to it, both of which are extremely, intensely orange. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Illinois looking to be in that 2 spot in a tie with Rutgers with a win here against also very hot Iowa. Tough ticket here today, huh? Jason Benetti, Stephen Bardo along with you.
You talk about Chris Murray, one of the most efficient, smooth scorers in college basketball. Great matchup between these two teams and those two players.
Really hard to get in here today.
You. Not letting it go.
Troublemaker, you.
Bardo's out here like, let me give you a breakdown so I can get away from this. And Benetti not letting him off the hook. The Orange Crush didn't make it into
Rankin,
Iowa.
Seriously. You
He's really good at this.
Yeah, but you really think you have to tell me that?
I need you to acknowledge this.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Everyone knows this is Orange Crush by R.E.M.
I don't think everyone.
I think so. It's a song about Vietnam.
But the title has Orange Crush in it.
I see what you're doing here. This one's a little on the nose, I think.
It wasn't like when you guys played Miss Fat Booty earlier.
Well.
It's great. We appreciate that. It's a great song. So, Dan, you remember on Friday how we were talking about the Orange Crush and their self-serving, backwards-ass statement that they put out about what happened with them. Super lame statement that they put out about what happened where they were impersonating the Girls and Boys Club, and then Iowa found out and was like, oh, man, that's messed up. We're not going to honor that.
And everybody's scared of them.
Right, because everyone's afraid of the premier student section or whatever it is. They are. Yes, you can't do that mechanically. People see you on Twitch.
Well, that's fine.
But, yes, that they put out another statement.
Am I wrong?
No.
Okay.
They put out another statement on Saturday morning, and you're going to notice that the tone and messaging of this statement a little different than the first one.
This is the amended statement.
Uh-huh.
From the Orange Chicken here today, huh?
The Orange Crush with a K. They spell it wrong because they're not bound by your rules.
It's a backwards K too. No, it's not, but you get it. The students of the Orange Crush are among the most passionate fans in the country. But in planning the Orange Crush road trip, we misrepresented ourselves as another active charitable organization which exercised poor judgment. This was our mistake, and for that, we are truly sorry. We also should have never placed blame on the Iowa ticket office and director of athletics, Gary Barta, or called them out for canceling the tickets. Protection of their home court is and should be their priority. As a nonprofit organization ourselves, trying to better the Champaign-Urbana community, we have the greatest respect for organizations who are doing this life-changing work every day. It was never our intention to disparage or lessen their importance. The event has been a valuable learning experience that will help form best practices for Orange Crush classes for years to come. The Orange Crush road trip prank has become a tradition that students and Illini fans look forward to every year. It is our goal to continue the annual road trip in a manner that stays true to the spirit of fun competition Illinois fans expect. Signed, The Orange Crush.
I can't hear a word you say.
I think that either the school called somebody in and said, this is a really bad look, or maybe somebody's parents called down and said, honey, can we talk about something here? Because this is
ridiculous, and you're making it felt like to me, this felt like Josh Whitman. Because Josh Whitman doesn't.
Yeah, but Josh Whitman's one step removed from being right next to them.
Oh, I know. But he's enough removed that he's like, guys, what are we doing? You can't. That statement that they put out on Friday.
Well, the own goal, too.
Yes.
Yeah. The fact that they knew that they had pretended to be another charity and then still tried to take on Iowa. And then I was like, really? All we have to do is say what you actually did? Well, that's what we're going to do now.
It's so bananas.
Yeah.
That you had to go through this. And then it's just like, So remember that statement that we put out on Friday?
Our motto's win, and that is whatever is necessary today.
Shut up.
You know,
like, we messed that up.
Why don't you just quit talking for a while? I think this might be the time for the Orange Crush to kind of sit back and
get their champ kind on.
Sit this one out.
Sit the next couple of plays out.
We said this segment was going to be extremely orange, and that is because...
Oh, wait. And that's the cool thing, because Benetti's connected to both of these stories.
That's right, because his alma mater is making some news here. Check out Jim Boeheim. Okay, check out this guy. You want cranky old man yelling at things sitting on his porch? He's talking about whether or not he's going to come back or not for another year. 95% of Syracuse people want me to coach. Why wouldn't they? As bad as we've been the last 2 years, we're fun to watch. We're still fun to watch. He says, my choice. I can do whatever I want.
I love Syracuse.
So as he was talking about what his future is going to be, this is where he got to. This is an awful place we're in college basketball. Pittsburgh bought a team. Okay, fine. My big donor talks about him. He doesn't give anyone any money. Nothing. Not one guy. Our guys make like $20,000. Wake Forest bought a team. Miami bought a team. It's like, really? This is where we are? That's really where we are, and it's only going to get worse. It's crazy. That's why these guys got out. That's why Jay Wright got out. That's why Mike Krzyzewski got out. That's the reason they got out. The transfer portal and everything is nuts. It really is.
Syracuse back from the dead on Easter Sunday.
Isn't that
perfect?
Isn't that basically what when we were talking? Was it Seth? We were talking with Seth on.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't he basically saying the same thing?
Kinda.
And wasn't he cranky about it too?
He was. So the Wake Forest coach he said the idea of him buying a team is 1,000% wrong. He's never had a player choose Wake for NIL money. And then Boeheim tried to walk back his comments, or he said he misspoke. Wake Forest and Pitt buying teams.
Did you misspeak? Because you would think that there's an actual abject lesson that happened less than a year ago from a coach doing the exact same thing in another sport. Nick Saban did this, where he was like, Texas A&M, they went and bought their... Like, it's almost the same language.
I love Syracuse.
A fine young man, Danny Parkins.
I saw him wax people in a AAA clubhouse in Syracuse.
Huh? Wait, what? Huh?
Well, Brandon Knight, who is an assistant coach at Rutgers, huh? I found this really interesting. He says, this sounds like sour grapes. Next time, ask Boeheim how many teams he bought before NIL was legal.
Facts.
Don't throw stones in a glass house.
How'd you get mellow there?
You've been coaching a lot of years, and a lot of us know who got paid.
That's right. Right? And that was kind of the response that Jimbo Fisher had to Nick Saban.
Right.
Like, how do you...
Come on, man.
How do you work in this sport and not see the most famous football coach pull the same nonsense that you just pulled, then had to rein it all the way in, all the way in. And the thing is, with Saban at least, he was doing it to a constituency of alums and stuff. This is Boeheim in a press conference.
No, it's not. It was him talking to Pete Thamel.
Oh, that's right. Him talking with Pete Thamel on the record.
But here's the thing, too. You're 80 years old. And you're bitching. Retire!
Just retire.
Just go away! If this is making you this miserable.
It's part of the
this
reason.
This is an awful place. They're buying teams. My guy won't spend any money. I want to buy a team, but I can't buy a team. I mean, listen to what he's saying. He would buy a team with NIL money, but he can't get the money.
His donor won't give him the money.
Right, that's why these guys got out. Then get out.
And
go play golf.
Part of the reason that Krzyzewski got out wasn't just NIL. It was because he's old.
His body's falling apart. He's dealt with so much. Yeah, but that's who. If you're this miserable, stop doing
it. Correct. You have all the money in the world that you want. And if you want it, you could just do, if coaching is your thing, you could just, what did Jim Calhoun do? Didn't he go and coach like high school ball or like Division III ball?
Gene Cady sat on NBA bench for a while just because he wanted to.
If you need it to be pure, you can find that. But if you want to...
Is Raleigh Massimino still coaching?
I think so. I hope you didn't just kill Raleigh Massimino.
Oh, I've been accused of, like, right and left. Who did Beth say I killed yesterday? During the Grammys or something, I forgot who it was, but they've been mentioning all these people who are like, wait a second, is this person alive? And she didn't get over the fact that she thinks I killed Harry Carey.
Yeah, Raleigh Massimino has been dead since 2017.
So not coaching. You sure? So I didn't... He still could be coaching. These guys, they...
In absentia.
Right. Once they get the bug, death doesn't stop half of them.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
No, not there. I went on this rant about what Harry did to Josh Lewin and to try to squeeze Chip into the booth because they had hired Josh Lewin. And then Harry,
Chip's back.
When Harry froze out Josh Lewin because he was just being a jerk. So I call it Harry. Like, then the next day, Harry's dead. So,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Then you put the kibosh on your own knee.
Yes, well, that's different. That was Priestess Miriam. Yes, I put my shoe. We put a hex on Kurt Warner, but we used my shoe, and then I blew out my knee. Yes.
And now you've killed Rolly Massimino 5 years after he died.
No, I didn't kill him. It was the opposite of that. But it just, this stuff from Bayham, this is an awful place. Oh, there's some of these kids and they're getting paid. I got to do all this work and I got to, what did Seth Greenberg say? Like, we got to constantly be re-recruiting your own guys.
Yeah, because they can leave.
Yeah.
But well, you guys
sucks
lived,
for you, man.
You lived high off the hog for decades. For decades, you've been living high off the hog. You've been able
Isn't
to
high on the hog.
High, well, high on the
hog. I think it's high on the hog.
Yeah, you're right. It's high on the hog for decades in college basketball, and now that there's a little bit of, you know, guys getting some opportunities to go do other things, and I have my issues with the transfer portal too, and I don't always think that these young men get great advice on when to transfer and where to transfer to. That's on them. That's their opportunity to try and make their life better, and if they make that mistake, they're going to have to live with that mistake. But come on, man. You're out here. Come on. You're out here like this. Speaking of college basketball, DePaul this weekend, man. They're playing Seton Hall. And I want to say Seton Hall didn't score a basket for the first 8 minutes of the game.
College basketball, ladies and gentlemen.
And DePaul still lost.
E9 is what advances Hayward to second base. That's a bulging thoracic disc in his back.
We've got High Noon coming up next. I have yet another animal that was liberated from a zoo enclosure.
You're going to be noticing something's absence this year during the Super Bowl. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Time for High Noon. We started out just talking about this weird weekend and what to do with no sports on and trying to force non-sports to be sports. And if you really had to sit in front of the TV and watch non-sports, you could. But there's a lot of garbage out there. A lot of complete hooey on your television. So,
including the All-Star weekends of both the NFL and the NHL.
And I think during transition, you made an important declaration that you're manning out.
I've had enough. I'm done. I love them, but we've reached the saturation point, at least for me.
We discussed the Kyrie Irving trade and some of the blessing and curse of player empowerment in the NBA and how it's great that players have power, but when you wield it without any rhyme or reason and indulge just your latest whim without much of a plan, it sucks. And there's a lot of people involved, and you might be better off really partnering with someone who's able to keep you from some of your whims and tell you no on occasion. Because it's hard to look at an example of a team that has been put together by players primarily other than the mega Heat that kind of started this trend. But that wasn't all players either. That, I think that's part of the misunderstanding.
That's Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra.
Correct.
And Heat culture.
And a plan for how it was going to work out. Anthony Herron talked with us, and we gave you the denouement of the Orange Crush saga and ripped on Jim Boeheim for being a penis.
This from the Associated Press. Fox sells out all of its Super Bowl commercials. And I'll go on to read. According to AP and May Anderson, who wrote this piece, Fox says it has sold out all of its Super Bowl 57 ad space as of the end of January. The big game between the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles takes place on Sunday. The Super Bowl is advertising's big stage with advertisers jockeying to get their products in front of more than 100 million people that watch each year. Mark Evans, executive vice president of ad sales for Fox Sports, said a few ads went for more than $7 million for a 30-second spot. Most sold between $6 million and $7 million. Anheuser-Busch remains the biggest advertiser with 3 minutes of national airtime. The beverage giant gave up its deal to be the exclusive advertiser this year. So Heineken, Diageo, Remy Martin, and Molson Coors are also in the game. Other big categories advertising included packaged food like Doritos and M&M's, movie studios and streaming services, automakers and tech companies, Evan said. Out this year, crypto companies.
Well, what did I say last year at this time? I said it the next day. I said, if that doesn't give you a sense that something bubbly is going on, and I'm no great business mind, but when people at the retail level, where they're spending that much money to have LeBron James, Matt Damon, and Larry David tell you to buy something, you probably missed the market.
Last year's Super Bowl was dubbed the Crypto Bowl because four cryptocurrency companies, FTX, Coinbase, Crypto.com, and eToro, ran splashy commercials. But in November, FTX filed for bankruptcy, and its founder was charged in a scheme to defraud investors. This year, two crypto advertisers had commercials booked and done, and two others were on the one-yard line, Evan said. But once the FTX news broke, those deals weren't completed. Now there's, quote, zero representation in that category on the day at all, close quote. So crypto will not be on your TV during the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Saying fortune favors the brave. It was supposed to be fortune favors the bold.
Right, but he said fortune favors the brave. Like I said, high off the hog.
By the way, it is high on the hog because it was believed that the best meat on the hog came from higher up on the body. It meant you weren't eating the feet if you were eating the stuff. If you're living high on the hog.
Okay, cool.
Vandals set free a Eurasian eagle owl from the Central Park Zoo. You ever seen a Eurasian eagle owl?
I don't think so.
Cool as hell, man. They're giant and really owly looking. So Flacco has been liberated.
Joe?
And he is perched high in a tree. He has been seen all around Central Park. He's not going very far. He is a 12-year-old Eurasian eagle owl that has been the latest it bird in Central Park, but he's usually there in the zoo, which is part of the problem. There's the bird community there is a fascinating one, and I think there was the wood duck one year. There's a mandarin duck that got in there, but those are all animals visiting from the wild. This kind of sucks. And you think, okay, great. Well, someone just thinks that all animals should be free, and that eagle should be, or the eagle owl should be allowed to go be an eagle owl. Here's the problem that experts...
Drop down and get your eagle owl on.
Experts say Flacco doesn't know how to find food for himself.
Oh.
Because Flacco's never learned how to hunt.
So he might end up being prey.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be prey, but he's going to be awfully hungry.
Is it possible that he can figure it out? Do the instincts kick back in?
It doesn't seem so. I think after 12 years in captivity, when people have been bringing you raw hamburger, whatever you wanted, or whatever you want, and a nice little Sabretz hot dog from the vendor down the street, that he just doesn't know. Now, there are wild raptors around New York and around Central Park.
Vince Carter.
Have you ever seen the video of the red-tailed hawk in New York that goes, you know the steel garbage cans that are just like the metal ribs? It's like rebar all around. A fully grown red-tailed hawk goes dive bombs into one of those to get a rat.
Good.
There's video of it, and it is like the most city raptor move you've ever seen. It's like, I'm hungry. Oh, there's
look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
It's one of those guys at the bottom of the garbage can.
Yeah, you're going to go to garbage can? All right, well, now I got you.
You think you're safe? You're not safe.
Nope.
I can still see you because I'm a red-tailed hawk. Yeah,
death from above. And everybody, there's people all over the place, too. And this thing goes, boom, like garbage flies up. Be like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And then the hawk pops up. It's like, I'm just getting some food.
I was hungry. What are you guys looking at?
You know it's got a thick New York accent, too, right? Like, the hawk sounds like Rakim. And just comes out of there with this and flies off of this huge rat the size of a squirrel. I got to find the video.
That's so great.
I think I posted it at one point, but it's great. So, yeah, I hope that Flacco can be rescued, brought back to his enclosure, and fed. Because even if somebody thought they were doing a good deed, they weren't.
Poor Flacco. That is High Noon. We do it every day around this time, this very here time. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Bulls. They've got a game against the Spurs tonight. With the two wins that they've had since we left you, what is it that we're rooting for?
I don't know. We're trying to figure it out.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's really hard. It's really hard to know what they think they are and what we're supposed to think they are and the standards to which we're supposed to hold them. Trust me, as somebody who does a frequent Bulls podcast, we're constantly grappling with the micro and the macro.
Like, yeah, you guys were doing it in the latest episode of Organizations Win Championships. Yeah,
what are we doing here? Where is this going? What should our expectations be for growth and competitiveness? The whole deal. We'll talk it through next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.